From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Ole Miss last night in Pearl at Trustmark Park. Can get runners in from the bases, stranding 13 in a 4-2 loss to Mississippi State last night. Bulldogs sweep the season series for the first time since 1997, going 4-0. Ole Miss did that last in 2015, but the Bulldogs pull it off with lots of close wins. Mississippi State continuing to win close games after not playing particularly well. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Ole Miss and Arkansas headed this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday from Baum. Ole Miss coming back today and immediately leaving, or came back last night, leaving for Fayetteville today to get a practice in tonight there and then play Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So the most fun drive in the SEC.
You get to Fort Smith and you want to kill yourself.
You do.
That's pretty much how that works.
You're somewhat suicidal.
But it's the same thing as when you're coming back. You get to Little Rock and feel like you're home. And it's still, was it 2.5, whatever it is to Little Rock?
I don't know. I-40 sometimes, you're just
the
forever.
Trucks.
You're just
truck.
By the time you get to Fayetteville, you just want to drink. Your nerves are fried.
Yeah.
It's funny, if you keep going, if you're going to Oklahoma City, once you get past about Fort Smith, it settles down.
That's what's funny about it. I like Fayetteville if it was in Little Rock.
Oh, I love Fayetteville. If it was in Little Rock, I'd be like, this is awesome.
Good trip, easy trip. Instead, no, not so much. Oh. You're so pissed off by the time you get there that you don't want to do anything.
Maybe that's why you drink so much when you get there.
They do have some good bars there.
Yeah, lots of good bars.
Yeah, I like Fayetteville, so... That and more here on the podcast today. Again, we spoke to Hugh Kellenberger about Greg Sankey. We spoke to Romero Miller about Rebel Road Trip yesterday. So if you missed that podcast, go back and check that out when you get a chance. We would appreciate it. Always thank you for telling everybody about us and keeping this ship going. So really, really appreciate that as well. As always, tell you about the Oxford Exxon, the Oxford Crystal, and everything else going on there on Highway 6 West in Oxford. Plenty Card, PLENTI.com is where you should go to find out more there about the Plenty situation, where you save money and earn points with the Oxford Exxon. Also, be aware that here soon, the week of the 24th, at Crystal, you get a free coffee with breakfast item. And you also get 20 crystals and 10 wings for $19.99 if you just throw in a little bit of a gathering or a get-together or a party. Or if y'all just come over to Neil's house, they'll do 20 crystals, 10 wings, $19.99. Or again, free coffee with a breakfast item April 24th and through that week. So there's what's there. And again, mention Clark Ford Studio.
Clark Ford in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com. It's the best place you can go to get the most efficient, easy, customer-friendly car deal that you can find. You call that number, you ask for Corey Clark, you tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. You can take that quote and you can shop it all over everywhere. It's your prerogative. That makes you happy, makes you feel like you're getting a good deal, go for it. Or you can take our word for it and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they have done for customers from Cape Girardeau to Biloxi, to all points in between, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Yeah, it's nice and easy. And when you do your deal with Clark Ford, at the very end of the deal, say, hey, Corey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Either one, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com.
Do you have an ice cream truck come to this neighborhood?
Sometimes.
How does that work? Is it effective? Is it efficient? How does it work?
Well, when my kids were younger, it was most certainly effective and efficient.
But you don't notice any issues with ice cream truck good, works out as you would expect.
Yeah, I can't. I don't recall an issue with the ice cream truck. I remember in Spanish Fort, the ice cream truck was, because Campbell and Caroline were so little, the ice cream truck was exciting as hell.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. And I don't have a child that is old enough for this yet or anything. Not yet. But I'm not like a real Pleasantville Rockwellian person for the most part. However, I like ice cream trucks. Something about the ice cream truck is simple, and I don't know. It kind of puts me in a good mood.
Plays the I hear the little music.
Okay, that's where I'm going. Okay. We have one very often in my neighborhood. Most days, actually. 3:30, 4 o'clock, somewhere in there, typically.
Yeah. Ice cream
getting
time.
Home from school, yeah. Here's my issue. And it's the first part is what drives you crazy in your neighborhood, but that's not really my point. They're killing themselves here. It flies through the neighborhood. You hear the music and you look up and the thing's out of the neighborhood. And it's okay. Number one, any ice cream truck in any neighborhood should not be doing more than about 6 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
You have to give people time to wrangle up their children and the cash and get outside.
Well, and you're also
to a corner or stop and just play your music at a stop point, something.
You're also, when you are driving an ice cream truck, you are announcing, hey, little kids, come on out.
Run in the road.
So you got to be extra careful.
It is the Indianapolis 500 with the ice cream truck through my neighborhood. Where I tried to test it the other day, I said, okay, I kind of heard it in the background. I was standing in the kitchen, and I said, okay, I've got $2 bills on my desk in my office. Let me try to get there in time. Couldn't.
No, that's not ice cream trucking right.
I could not get in there, get the money, and get outside before it was already around the corner and into the other cul-de-sac. Gone. I don't understand. They're not making money. Come and sit and stop or drive incredibly slow multiple times and then move on. One or the other. My pet peeve for the day.
No, I get it. That would bother me.
It's driving me nuts.
We have some construction going on in this neighborhood. And I don't know what it is about working in construction. Maybe when it's lunch break time. It is, by God, lunch break time. I remember some of the guys in this, they were pulling 70s in this neighborhood. That's scary as hell.
Not 70.
I swear, man, flying. It's like, dude, chill. You're in a neighborhood. But you hear the truck. Like, dude, relax.
At least it's at the end of the road.
Yeah.
Positivity this morning.
There you go. Now, usually the ice cream truck, when it comes through here, goes pretty slow. The one in Spanish Fort would come in there, man. It would creep through that neighborhood. It was like, dude is smart.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, you're killing yourself. What are you doing?
No, you want to go slow. Let the kids have a chance to get. In fact, he would just come park and play his music, and all the kids would come running, get in line, get their ice cream bar. Exciting times.
What's your go-to?
You know, I'm not a big ice cream
person. I know, but you still have a favorite.
I do like the Nestle Crunch Bar.
Okay.
Kind of like that. It's not my thing, really. Like, if you told me today, Neil, you can never have ice cream again. Okay. I wouldn't be happy about it, but I wouldn't be sad.
You can never have Mexican food again.
I'd be sad.
You can never have red wine again.
Oh, God. It's been nice.
Can we bargain? What do you think?
It's been real.
Bananas, pickles. Like, well, let's take something else away here.
If you tell me you can never have red wine again, I'm prepared to go. Take me.
Just substitute it with something else.
God.
All right, so last night, State 4, Ole Miss 2, Rebels now had it up. They are 25-16, 9-9 in the SEC. State moves 29-14. I think they're 13-5 after the sweep of Alabama last weekend. State playing Auburn maybe this weekend, I think. Ole Miss at Arkansas. I'll look at that later. Not really worried about it at the moment. But anyway, so last night, Neil, did you watch any of it? Or do I need to recap completely?
You'll have to recap. I had my team, the Tigers, we had a game.
Did you win?
We did. Beat the Marlins. I got back with Carson. It was about 7:45. Had to get dinner on the table because Caroline was at dance. And then we turned on the Thunder and the Rockets.
Okay. So, Greer Holston pretty sharp the majority of the game for Ole Miss last night. Pitched well. Ends up giving up three runs in six innings, all on a Brent Rucker three-run home run in the fifth of the sixth, something like that anyway. Okay. But in the first inning, Denver McQuarrie for Mississippi State can't throw a strike. Ole Miss gets a walk and a single to start the game. Got a little unlucky on the third batter. Colby Bortles hits a fairly deep fly ball to center field, but it was either a hit and run or a steal attempt because the runners were moving on the pitch. So Tate Blackman could not tag up. He had to get back to second. Golson had to get back to first. So steal first and second, one out. Then Ryan Olenek grounds out, second and third, two outs. Nick Fortes walks, bases loaded, two outs. And then with a 2-0 count on Tim Rowe, McQuarrie throws a ball up and in that Rowe swings at and dribbles to the first baseman. Would have been 3-0 instead, inning over. It started a kind of just – it was the story of the night. Again, Ole Miss strands 13 on the evening. They get 9 free passes and only score 2 runs. They left 2 more runners on in the second inning after they got 2 2-out walks. McQuarrie at one point had thrown 54 pitches through 2 innings and not allowed a run. And then he at one point he had thrown 5 scoreless innings, throwing only 57 strikes and 104 pitches.
Wow.
Just couldn't get the hit. It was just –
yeah, and sometimes you let a pitcher off the hook and he relaxes.
He never really got a lot better. He just kept putting people on base and they still didn't score.
So you're at the plate pressing.
I know there's frustration. I get it. I understand that it's so easy to jump on results. In baseball, though, in my opinion, I mean, feel free to disagree. I'm not a genius by any means.
Well, you know the game pretty well.
You can't walk Rucker there.
No.
There's one out. There's runners on first and second. Rucker's been mired in a 2-for-21 slump. You've gotten him out to that point overnight, all night. And
you can't walk him to load the bases
with
there.
One out for Gridley.
No.
So they pitch to him. Holston misses his spot by 2.5 feet. And Rucker hits the ball over the center field wall.
Yeah, it's about the pitch more than it is the hitter.
Yeah,
I mean, the kid's had a great year.
Yeah, it was home run number 17. He's got a real good shot at winning the Triple Crown.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a fantastic year. He's the player of the year in the league, right?
Oh, yeah, done.
But you can't miss your spot by 2.5 feet. You can't miss your spot. If you miss your spot by 2.5 feet to Gridley after you walk, that kid Rucker, it's a grand slam. I mean, come on. Or a 3-run double or whatever. I mean,
yeah, a ball hit hard somewhere.
These are people that are good at it, swinging metal. You got to hit your spots. It's like the video I showed you of the Cubs-Brewers game a week or so ago where the closer for the Brewers is pitching to Addison Russell, and you see the slider just not slide. It just cuts back into Russell's sweet spot, and the ball goes 400 feet into the left center field bleachers. It's like
– that becomes a problem.
And as soon as he threw it and it started to move, before Russell had – connected with the ball, the pitcher was – his body language was, oh, shit.
He knew it was coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's not complicated. It is complicated, but it's not. You miss your spot, you pay for it.
Had Russell fouled it back, the pitcher would have gone,
oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, he would have thought, well, that was Merry Christmas. I mean, today's my day.
Yeah.
And when Russell connected on it, he didn't even watch. He's like, well, that's what happens. I mean, in his mind, he was like, well, you missed your spot like that, and there you go.
It's also – yeah, they couldn't get anything going. I mean, in the seventh inning last night, they get first and third, one out. And it's where a tweet doesn't have full context here, even though it was an accurate tweet. They brought in Michael Fitzsimmons to pinch hit for Tim Rowe. First and third, and – He's done that against left-handers a good bit this year, but he's hitting 120 in 30 plate appearances against left-handed pitching. Fitzsimmons is. He grounds a double play, inning over, they move on. But Rowe had crappy swings all night. Pinch hitting for him is not a problem. I get it. They just don't have anybody. No matter who you're pinch hitting, they've got a crappy batting average against left-handers. So it really wasn't even about Fitzsimmons. It was just about that's where they are. I mean, I get the move, but there wasn't some dude sitting on the bench. It's hitting 525 waiting.
They're a limited offensive team. Through 45 games, it's a decent sample size.
Yeah.
That's what they are. They pitch it pretty well. Pretty solid defensively. Stop me when I'm wrong. And offensively,
they got to get better defensively, but they're okay.
Yeah. And offensively, they're limited.
They're hitting 269 against right-handers and 191 against left-handers.
I mean, through 45 games, that's indicative of something. They don't hit lefties well.
256 runners on base, 239 when the base is empty, 148 with the base is loaded. Leadoff gets on 37% of the time. 252 runners in scoring positions. That's a little better than I thought it was. And they are 60% in scoring a runner from third with less than two outs. Middling, I mean.
Yeah, I was going to say kind of average numbers. They're 9-9 in the league. What bothers me is when people go with the, they suck. Well, no, they don't suck. Alabama sucks.
Georgia and Tennessee suck.
Yeah. Oh, right on the cusp. No, you're not. You are what you are right now.
But you are wasting a team that leads the conference in pitching.
You are. You're wasting some pitching.
Looking at it to see if they've improved any in some offensive categories because they have scored a few more runs. They are 14th in the league in batting average, 14th in slugging, 14th in on base, 13th in RBIs, 14th in hits, 13th in runs, 12th in doubles, 14th in triples, 10th in home runs, and 14th in total bases. So, as you said, there's a sample size. I get the frustration, but they are what they are. Kind of, I mean, we're broken a record now with the monotony. Damn, game after game after game.
They're trying to get – here's the bottom line on this team. They're trying to get to 15-15 in the league. Somehow, some way, if they can get to 15-15 in the league, they're going to get in the tournament. As a low two, a high three, whatever. I'm not going to get into the argument of whether that matters, whatever. And they're going to hope that they get a good draw. That's their deal. They get the right draw. They pitch it well enough that they'll have a shot. Don't get the right draw, nah. Get the experience of playing in the postseason. Get ready for next year where you ought to be a better club.
Right now, it's just get in.
Get in. But it was get in my opinion, it was get in the middle of February.
Yeah, well, you just had margin for error that's gone now.
Right.
I mean, you got to go 500 the rest of the way, probably. Again, if they're 14-16, we'll watch it that morning and see what happens. They got a shot. Who knows? Right. I don't know. RPI this morning fell to 43. It's somewhere around there. They got a little bit of help because Memphis came into the top 100, if that makes a difference to you. But, yeah, it's about it. There's no metric that jumps off the page right now for
got
for
three
them.
Road series coming up, and they're going to have to win one of them.
And win your home one.
And you're going to have to win the home one.
A&M at home.
Got to win two, period.
Arkansas, Florida, Auburn on the road, and you cannot get swept.
Nope. Got to win at least one in all three, and you got to win two in one of them.
Don't care which one.
Nope. Go win a series. One of those three. And in an ideal world, you sweep A&M, but you certainly take two. Otherwise, you're probably not getting in. And if you do those things, you probably will get in.
Yeah, I mean.
And the fire Bianco stuff is stupid because he's not getting fired. So stop. It's just stupid.
Yeah, he's not getting fired.
No, it's just stupid. You can emotionally argue that you want him fired if that makes you happy. He's not getting fired.
Yeah. move on to some other things. Again, we'll continue to talk about that the rest of the week. They start tomorrow night in Fayetteville against Arkansas. That game is on either ESPNU or SEC Network. I'm not real sure which one, but either way, national broadcast for that. But as we move on, the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's also the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask Jason about Community Mortgage's float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate, too. So contact Jason Lowe, branch manager, at 662-234-2704, or you can send an email, jlowe, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent based in Oxford for more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, whether it be a new one, a previously owned one, or a leased one, you can do it all there at Grenada Nissan. Great service, fantastic people. Gene and Sandy Grass, been a friend of mine for years now, and they'll be a friend of yours as well. They'll take care of you at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Snooze Mattress Company, Snooze 2202 Jackson Avenue West in Oxford. It is the place to go for your bedding needs. I got all the mattresses you know and love, Jameson, Tempur-Pedic, Serta, it's all there. Accessories, linens, pillows, mattress protectors, bed frames, delivery options, setup, everything there at Snooze. Again, 2202 Jackson Avenue West in Oxford, gosnooze.com.
Looking a little bit this summer, I'll post a little more about this on the message board later today with some context, but just giving you kind of a brief overview here. Keith Law updated. He's the ESPN baseball draft expert. He updated his, what's it called, top 50 MLB draft prospects for the summer. Couple of Rebels checking in on that list. Not actually, it's a list you do not want to be on if you were Ole Miss. But at 31, they have got Steven Jennings, a right-handed pitcher from DeKalb County, Tennessee. He's an Ole Miss signee for next season. And then at 34, Caden Lemons, a right-handed pitcher from Vestavia Hills High School, also on that list. So Ole Miss with two signees inside Keith Law's top 50. They had a couple signees inside the top 50 last year, too. They showed up to school. You don't want to do that every year. You're going to lose some eventually, but that's where they are at the moment. Jennings and Lemons there inside the top 50.
So. Did you see Chris Coughlin's slide last night? Not really a slide.
Oh, man, still got some ups, doesn't he?
Doesn't he? Yes, it was incredible.
Yachty was very confused. He was kind of there, and then he wasn't there.
Yeah. I didn't know Coughlin could still do that. And I'm basing that on the last couple of years when he played for the Cubs. I mean, Chris had a couple of good seasons, but I mean, when I say I didn't know he was that athletic, I understand he's playing Major League Baseball. I get it.
He's more athletic than the average bear.
Yeah,
here,
but I mean, I never like watched him and thought,
yeah,
you know, I didn't.
Ooh,
I,
Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, I never thought. Oh, there's Gregor Polanco. I mean, I didn't think that. I didn't know that Chris had those sort of hops.
He made a good decision. He gambled on himself. You know, he goes to the Phillies, basically tells the Phillies to cut him because the Phillies had a deal where they could let him make the opening day roster, but if they put him down at any point over maybe the first 30 days or whatever the time period was, they essentially didn't have to pay him or didn't have to do something. Like, it was basically, hey, we can just get rid of you here. And instead, he gets cut there, goes, signs with Toronto, goes to the minor leagues.
Kind of knew he'd be up.
Yeah. There had to be a lot of talk there. Hey, look, we're going to whatever. But yeah. Goes through a little bit of that and then gets up and is contributing now for the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Asked to be a good citizen on what should end up being. They're not very good right now, but I think they will be on a good team, which he did the last 2 years in Chicago.
He has that ability.
It was great. I mean, he was great in Chicago with, hey, you're not going to be a star here. You're probably not going to be an everyday player here, barring a lot of injuries.
What?
But you can help the young guys. He's a pro's pro. People like him. You can kind of help these young guys by just showing them how a major leaguer goes about his business. And you can provide some support. And when you're not playing, you can have a positive attitude about it. And when you get opportunities, make the most of them. And at some point in the next, I don't know when, I think the Cubs play Toronto at some point this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they play the American League East this year. So at some point this year, he's going to get a big, shiny $70,000 ring.
They'll wait and give it to him when they see him.
They were going to try to do that with most of the people, try to figure out
who's gone.
Well, the other day now, they did fly in the three Royals that are former Cubs from last year.
They flew them in?
Yeah, they flew. The Royals had an off day, and so the Cubs flew them in and gave them their rings on a Monday night. Jorge Soler and Jason Hamill. And
they have three Cubs from last year on the Royals?
Mm-hmm, and Travis Wood.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, Wood's a Royal now.
Yeah.
Who knew?
That's where everybody was joking that it's the first time they'd seen him wearing a shirt in a long time.
Just anybody you might know from this list, some kid from California is number one on Keith Law's list. He's from Sherman Oaks High School. Hunter Green, a right-handed pitcher shortstop. Kyle Wright at Vandy's number two. Brendan McKay at number three from Louisville, the left-handed pitcher first baseman that is destroying college baseball this year. Again, I'm just looking for names you would know. I'm not going to run through the whole list. Jared Kendall, Vanderbilt 10, the outfielder from Vanderbilt.
Does that surprise you a little bit?
It's where I like him. You know, a lot of people are talking 1-1 there, and maybe he does. I don't know. But 1-1, I get a little bit of a twitch in my neck when I hear that. He's good, dang good, really athletic. But,
yeah,
I mean, and I get he plays a different position and all that. But, I mean, I don't see Dansby Swanson type deal there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Corbin's had some success at Vandy.
Some dudes.
Yeah. Kind of worked out.
13, Alex Vado, right-handed pitcher from Florida. Ole Miss will see him next week.
What's his deal? He just throws hard?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think he could end up in the pen, honestly. I don't know what they're going to do from where he's at. His velocity's gone down a little bit, but he's got a big-time slider, and he's not going to walk you. So, or at least he's not going to walk you with the fastball. The slider kind of goes all over the place. But anyway, he's had some weird outings. Like in the SEC, there's so many of these prospects. But you look at Fiedo, you look at Houck, they've lost velocity since their freshman year. It's ticked down a little bit. They don't have necessarily the command they've always had.
Why is that? Just stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you're not seeing crazy pitch count numbers or anything. I don't necessarily think it's negligence on anybody's part. I think it just kind of happens. I mean, that's Tanner Houck would scare, as we talked about, would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah, I talked.
There's something there that doesn't do something for me.
I've talked to people who saw that, and they're like, "Eh, I'm not sure I go there."
Some kid from Mobile is number 25.
Who?
Bubba Thompson. Thompson is committed to the University of Alabama to play baseball and football, but he's certainly going to be drafted high enough that it's not going to matter. He's an 80 runner with, oh, wow, 80 runner.
What schools he go to?
McGill Toulon. He's an 80 runner with power and athleticism, but there are questions about how raw he is as a hitter right now.
So he'd go to college baseball and struggle.
But could be a prospect.
Meanwhile,
be a first
they could
round
put
pick.
Him in the prospect deal and kind of do the Billy Hamilton route.
An 80 runner.
That's Billy Hamilton.
He might get pushback for turning down Tide football now.
Oh.
I don't care what they're paying him.
Boy, you understand you owe the state something. You owe the university something. Coach Saban's giving you an opportunity to play for the Crimson Tide. That's priceless.
Tanner Houck at Missouri, number 38. Keith Law says he's a two-pitch guy with a reliever's delivery. He has seen his performance drop this spring as his stuff has backed up a little bit. Will Crow, South Carolina, not relevant. Ole Miss not playing him this year. Alex Lang at 41, LSU right-handed pitcher. Lang misses bats with his mid-90s fastball and hard curveball, but it's a violent delivery with a head whack, which limits his command and increases the odds that he ends up in the bullpen. A lot of question marks about these SEC aces.
Yeah.
Might be it. Yeah. Coleman, Alabama's got a kid on the list, too. Jacob Heatherly, a left-handed pitcher.
Coleman.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember where Coleman is.
Is that Birmingham?
I don't know. I should know this.
How do you not know that?
I think it's around Birmingham, yeah. Like east of Birmingham, maybe?
It is 50 miles north of Birmingham.
North
of Birmingham. And about 55 miles south of Huntsville.
Okay.
So right in the middle.
There you go.
There you go. More you know. So there's the list. South Carolina with some bad news.
I'll drive through Coleman in July.
Will you?
Yeah. Going to see the U.S. soccer team in Nashville.
Are you?
The Saturday. Yeah, well, I'm not going alone. Young Carson wants to see them. And then it's the Saturday before media day starts. So he and I will just drive from Nashville to Birmingham. He's going to soccer camp in Birmingham the week of media days. UAB soccer camp.
Okay.
It gets good reviews.
Does it?
They have men's soccer.
Yeah, I did know that, actually.
So. Maybe it's the beginning or something. I'm kidding. Totally kidding.
I'm waiting. You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
It's U.S. versus Panama, and then Mexico plays somebody, like a combination country.
A combination country?
Yeah, I'm totally.
What do you mean by combination country?
Well, it's like two countries get to combine their players and play.
Like a co-op? How's that fair?
I'm looking. Let's see. It's CONCACAF Gold Cup.
Well, two countries go together to play?
Yeah, don't hold me to this, but I'm about to find out. Hold on. Because I've already bought my tickets. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Who?
It's the United States versus Panama. And then Martinique versus Haiti, Nicaragua. Haiti and Nicaragua get to play together.
That does not seem fair to me. I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know what that's all about.
You think Little League Baseball's got politics? Try picking that team.
Are Haiti and Nicaragua even close to each other?
I don't know.
I mean, they're like neighbors, I guess.
Just fly in and meet in the middle. It's
be
okay.
Like, U.S., Portugal, why not?
Yeah.
I got to figure this out now. Haiti close to Nicaragua. This is bad podcasting, but it.
While you're doing that, I actually just missed this. Number 50 on the Law's list, Cordell Dunn, a catcher from Center Hill High School in Olive Branch. It says Dunn is a very strong and has a plus arm, needs work on receiving, but he hits with wood in games and has a very good simple swing, which should balance out concerns about the atrocious track record of high school bats coming out of Mississippi. Well, Law, we're laying it down there. Okay, wow. Thanks.
But you know what? Keith Law makes a point. First, hold that point. Look how far it is from Haiti to Nicaragua.
They play together?
They're going to play together. Why? Haiti is right next to the Dominican Republic, which is sort of what I thought. And Nicaragua is across the Caribbean Sea. Anyway.
You had a point. Go ahead.
I'm not trying to be an apologist for Bianco. Or for the guy at Mississippi State. High school baseball in Mississippi is solid, but it does not have a great track record of producing a whole bunch of professional-ready players right away.
It's known as raw athletic outfielders is its niche.
Yeah. Which
Anthony Alford, Cinquez Golson.
Yeah. Two guys who were not ready to contribute at the college level. I mean, Billy Hamilton, as good as he's become as a Cincinnati Red, I don't know what kind of college player he would have been that first year.
Well, no, probably raw.
Yeah. I think think the jobs in the state are hard. That's what I think. It's my opinion.
Efficient, a little lucky, develop.
You have to be very efficient.
Build to a season.
You have to develop. You have to be understand the cyclical part of it. You have to build up to something. And I don't even think you can count.
Brent Rooker is a fourth-year player. In college baseball, that's an anomaly.
No one saw this coming, did they?
No, not like this.
Yeah. I mean, you knew he could have a good year, but nobody thought he could get scorching hot like this.
Hunter Renfroe had one offer. Credit State, not criticizing.
No, it's not a criticism. It's a credit. I'm complimenting the two programs. Analytics say that they shouldn't win. There. Analytics say that Ole Miss and State should suck.
But they don't.
They don't.
Routinely don't. Consistent, yeah. Perennially.
And analytics say that they both should routinely suck. They do. Every single one. Don't give me fan base. Don't talk to me about salaries. None of that has a damn thing to do with anything on the field. You're working with fewer scholarships in a state that is not fertile. From a growing baseball player standpoint, it's not. Doesn't mean you can't get good baseball players out of here, but it does mean you have to get players that you have to develop. You know, like Cooper Johnson is at Ole Miss because of his struggles hitting the baseball. If a kid with his defensive prowess could hit at a very proficient level already, he'd be playing professionally somewhere right now.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean that's the deal. Of people go, well, he can't hit. Well, that's why he's here. I bet he's a better hitter in year three than he is in year one. Bet he is.
Already getting a little more comfortable. I wrote about him last night. You can read about it at rebelgrove.com. Four hits the last 4 days. Missed a double by about a foot and a half. It's slow, but I think he's the guy, too, that I'm kind of talking about both sides of my mouth here because I kind of hate the whole lock in, try really hard thing. I hate that. I think everybody tries really hard. I think it's talent. I think it's focus.
But you can get over.
Well, and I do, but here's my point. I think that you can be so damn competitive where you go, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to improve. I'm going to hit every gosh dang day for however long. Yeah, I'm going to find a way to put a bat on a baseball.
Yep.
Because I have a lot of hand-eye coordination. I'm an elite defender. I can play baseball. So, look, I'm not going to hit 475, but I'm not going to strike out. I'm going to find a way to put the ball in play. That's doable.
Yes. So. And there is such a thing as being so hard on yourself as a player that you become your own worst enemy for stretches.
Yeah, it's a huge deterrent. It's a problem. Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. They do what they say they're going to do when they say they're going to do it. They have open and honest communication with their customers as well as employees. No job is too large or small for MasterCuts. Services include landscape design and installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf. They even do holiday lighting if that is your thing for the holiday season. If your yard's not up to par, give MasterCuts a call for a free quote, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com. And remember, when you sign up for an annual contract, mention that you heard it on the podcast, first cut is on them.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB recently played host to the OUB two-man scramble, raised more than $37,000 to fund scholarships for students from both Oxford and Lafayette high schools. Check out OUB for your consumer and commercial loans needs. OUB can tailor consumer and commercial loans to fit their customers' specific needs. The loan officer you speak with at OUB is almost always making 100% of the loan decision, isn't having to send the loan to some underwriter in another town that knows very little about the transaction and nothing about the customer. OUB has worked hard to continue to come up with new ideas to make sure there cannot be a better banking experience found anywhere, all while focusing on Oxford. To learn more about OUB, Check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Yeah, as we mentioned the other day, the 2017 OUB LOU two-man scramble, June 24th, 25th at the Ole Miss Golf Course. That's $175 registration, Calcutta dinner, free beverages, cash prizes as well, and all afternoon tee slots have been filled up, so they only have morning left. So if you're going to play in that, might want to get on it. It is filling up pretty fast. Again, afternoon tee slots already gone, barring wait list spots. So there's that. Did you see South Carolina's ace got hurt?
I did see that.
Clark Schmidt out for the season, a UCL injury.
What year is he, Chase?
He's a junior.
Ah.
Yeah.
Makes you sick for the kid, doesn't
suffered it? Suffered a torn UCL. I'm reading from the state. Suffered a torn UCL Thursday night at Florida and will need Tommy John. The righty was the ace of the Gamecocks staff, finishing his season with a 1.34 ERA. Leads the Gamecocks in ERA and strikeouts and is second on the team in innings pitched despite missing a start earlier this year. He's eligible for the MLB draft and was viewed by as a projected first-round pick by several publications, including Baseball America. Baseball America projected Schmidt to be taken number 15 overall in a mock draft last week. Just kind of see if there's anything else notable. Not really. He's only allowed 9 earned runs all season for South Carolina. Comes a couple of years after Will Crow also had to have Tommy John, their other weekend starter. So
that sucks.
Yeah, and
I hate that for the kid.
Holbrook doesn't really have a history. It just snaps.
No. Not blaming anyone.
If it was the dude in North Carolina, we might go, well.
Yeah. Just hate it for the kid. That's tough.
It's fixable.
It is.
He was going to lose money on the front end, get healthy, have a major league career, see what happens.
Yeah. As it's easy for me to say, he's going to have to sit around and feel sorry for himself for a little while because he's got the surgery and stuff, and then he's got to just hit it and get back and say, I'm going to make up the money on the other side. Easy for me to say.
But, I mean, that's your only option. I'm not being rude.
It is. And I won't make fun of him if he takes a month and pities
himself. Yeah, you're going to suck. It's going to suck. You're going to be pissed off, and at some point you go, okay, let's get healthy. Got talent. They're going to fix my elbow. It's going to be okay.
If you're him, do you come back and pitch at South Carolina, or do you go ahead and go pro?
Problem with it's right now. You're into the season next year before you're healthy.
Yeah, way into the season. I'd probably get in a professional
organization. Yeah, let somebody take a gamble on me. They're going to be invested in me. I mean, it's not going to – they're going to see it as getting a discount.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you go ahead and go because – also, Tommy John recovery is starting to extend out a little longer. People have realized that if you take an extra 6-8 weeks, they're seeing a little better improvement down the road for a decrease in extra injury. So it's not quite as fast as maybe the max quickness that we've seen at times. So you're looking at the end of the season before he'd be fine for next year.
Arizona Fall League kind of thing.
Yeah, that's about right.
Get it well. Good luck to the kid. I'll kind of cheer for him. I wouldn't know him if he walked in the door, but I feel for him. That's brutal. NFL draft starts tomorrow.
It's weird. I haven't piped in for this one yet. I'm not ready.
A little different for Ole Miss this year than last year. Thank God. Saw where Evan Engram, most people projecting him as an early second round pick. I think Fox had him going to the Jets with the 39th overall pick. Most people have him somewhere between 35 and 40.
Speaking of the draft, our buddy Stephen Godfrey with a story on SB Nation this morning.
Oh, is the story out today?
With the headline, "Why You'll Never Know Who Hacked Laramie Tunsil." Well, I know. You know. But
who?
Not the public. We've been over this.
Who?
Whose? Is it that
who's, hacked? Whose name are we talking about?
Yeah.
Whose name? What is it when you strike a hitter out and he swings? How do you put that in the book?
It's a K.
It's a K?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it that when a player's hot and he goes, man, I got my shot going. I got my, not a dunk, but a.
Oh, you shoot the J.
Oh, shoot the J. Shoot the J. KJ. Whose are we talking about? What's Ole Miss's head coach, football coach's first name?
Hugh.
If you had more than one Hugh, what would you say? If you had two people or three people in a room named Hugh, what would you say? That's a bunch of
Hughes.
That's, you're so smart. You and I ought to go on that show.
Password.
Or yeah, but the pyramid, whatever it is. The pyramid show. Yeah. We should. We're connecting, man.
The tagline for Godfrey's story is NFL stock was sabotaged on draft night, yet no one, not Ole Miss, Dolphins, or Tunzel himself, stands to benefit from IDing who did it.
It's amazing.
The point is that, and I'm sure, look, I'm sure the guy's been blackballed in NFL circles.
Whose?
Exactly. His career's hurt, right?
I would have to think.
I mean, I haven't heard his name in the last calendar year, but like I heard his name in any of the 32 previous calendar years I was on this earth, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But you can read the story. Again, it's at SB Nation.
He sent it to me last week. I read it. It's a really good read.
So what's the gist? I mean, because I was trying to find that. So if you've read it, hell, help me out. Jesus. I'm here trying to talk, scroll, and it was like, well, I've read it. Well, talk then.
No, it's not Jesus. It's Wait, who? I'm kidding.
Is that the gist that there's just no everybody is balking from it?
Ole Miss didn't want to pursue it. The authorities were never contacted. Never. Why do you think that is? What else does he know? Nobody wants.
Everybody just took their ball and went home.
Went home. He got his revenge. He was a guy who was down here a lot, who was doing business with Tunsil. One of the things he did for Tunsil was he got Tunsil a new phone. Laramie was, frankly, too busy / too whatever to go do it himself. And so he goes, hey, give me your password, and I'll go ahead and I'll unload everything. I'll transfer everything from this phone to your shiny new fancy phone. Remember we talked to guys on the team who said Laramie got a new phone middle of last year.
Yeah.
Or his junior year at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So he had his password to the cloud. So he hooks up his phone and conveniently hangs on to his password from the cloud. And when Laramie, in his eyes, screws him and goes back on their verbal deal and signs with Jimmy Sexton, he says, all right. I've got all this stuff. I'm going to get my revenge. And before the draft starts, literally minutes before the draft starts, he puts out the video that was on Laramie's phone.
Right.
On the cloud of Laramie at the fraternity house at some point in his freshman or sophomore year at Ole Miss, smoking marijuana with a Darth Vader mask on, basically.
Yeah. Gas mask.
Gas mask. Devastated Tunsil's draft status. Teams said, hey, we knew about it. Okay. I doubt if they knew about it. I think that's NFL teams covering their ass. You didn't know about it. Because if you knew about it, it wouldn't have affected his draft status. But teams saw that and said, oh, my God. We're in this room. We've been in this room. We're locked in. Everyone's nervous. We're making this massive decision that we're going to be judged on forever. What else is out there on this kid? Yeah, Tunsil's great. There are other players. He's too risky right this moment. And the Dolphins were the first team that finally goes, hey, you know what? Value will roll. And in fairness to the other teams, no one ever else says this. What if their fears had come to fruition? And that was just the beginning of what was coming out that night.
It had to have been really bad, though.
Okay, well, let's hypothetically. Oh, God, I'm going to get killed here. Hypothetically, let's say that led up to a thing of him doing lines. What if you didn't know what else was coming out next?
Oh, I get it.
So those teams, I've on record as saying the New York Giants would have been in the playoffs last year if they'd taken Laremy Tunsil, and that they should have taken Laremy Tunsil. I am trying to take the other side for a moment. You cannot judge a man until you walk a day in a man's shoes. If you're those teams in that draft room, someone in that table was hand raised.
I would have sat there as the GM. And I'm going, okay.
Okay, hold on. Let me paint the picture. You're the GM.
Uh-huh.
And I'm the head of college scouting.
Yeah, whatever.
Whoever. And in a panic moment, I said, what if there's something else?
And I'm pinching my nose and I'm freaked out, but I go, okay, he was at the combine, right? Interviews go good? Okay.
Okay. They went okay.
Did he pass his drug test everywhere we gave it?
Yes.
So there's no documentation that he has a failed drug test?
No. But there is now documentation of him doing marijuana with the gas mask on.
I don't care.
This video just got released. Sir, this video just got released 5 minutes before the draft by someone who clearly wants to hurt him. What if there's something else? We're in New York, sir. Where there's the Times, the Daily News.
Good grief, I'm being hypothetical here.
And I am, too.
We like Laremy. We're just talking.
I love Laremy.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
I like Laremy a lot. My brother is obsessed with Laremy.
Well, that's putting it mildly.
His Facebook profile is him and Laremy together.
Obsessed isn't strong enough, but regardless, fair enough. In the family of obsession.
So, the only thing to me, frankly, because documentation would have been clean.
Yeah.
I think drugs, I go, damn it, but okay.
Yeah.
Some type of domestic abuse would have been the only thing where I went, oh, we're in deep crap.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that'd have been the only thing where.
For
I
For the record, I'm playing the other side because otherwise it would not be a very good podcast. I'm with you. I would have taken him. I'm doing the other side. I do understand when everybody goes, those teams are idiots. Okay, it's easy for you, no financial investment at all, to say he's the best tackle in the draft. By God, period.
Yes, but.
When that comes out 5 minutes before the draft and you go, what else is there? I do understand why you could panic.
And now we're talking video. Now the Instagram crap, no one cared.
Oh, the NFL couldn't have given a damn. But so what that was that was at Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, the dude the dude hurt Laremy and then tried to hurt Hugh.
Once he could not hurt Laremy anymore.
He could hurt Jimmy and Hugh.
Because once the Miami Dolphins said with the 13th pick, in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Laremy Tunsil, offensive tackle, University of Mississippi.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's done. Now, I hurt the next guy. And it talks about the press conference deal, which has been debated more than I care for it to ever be debated. Laremy wanted to talk. Laremy wanted to do a press conference. The option to not do a press conference was put in front of Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil was at that moment a professional athlete. He was not Ole Miss's property anymore. The whole, why didn't someone from Ole Miss stop him? Because they couldn't. They don't own Laremy Tunsil. He was the property of the Miami Dolphins at that moment. He was a National Football League player. Every other person who was in Chicago that night to be drafted did a press conference. It would have been absolutely out of the ordinary for Laremy Tunsil to not do any media after he was drafted. Laremy Tunsil wanted to do media.
Laremy typically wants to do media.
I would argue that Laremy answered questions honestly that night. God, I'm sorry. Steven goes through in that story the questions that were asked and how they were answered. I hate to break it to people. Nobody asked an unfair question. You as an Ole Miss fan, you're angry because this is happening to you that night. From a media perspective, the people did their jobs. From Laramie's perspective, he probably answered honestly.
I wonder why he answered the way he did.
I do too.
Because he's not dumb.
Came back later and said he couldn't even remember what he said.
Yeah.
Laramie's frustration that night was that what was supposed to be the biggest night of his life
had turned into that.
Yeah. The podcast is also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. Hold on one second. I got to pull something up. I had the draft stuff up on my computer. It's brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's looking, if you're looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, give him a call. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. He's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. He's from the Delta, lives in Jackson, comes up this way all the time. No one understands the recreational and timberland tract in Mississippi better than he does. It's gotland.com. It's his website, got-land.com. If you are in the land market, hunting land, your land share, anything like that, you're thinking about buying or selling right now, you owe it to yourself to get in touch with Michael. At least let him have an opportunity to win your business. If he can't win your business in a face-to-face, he doesn't deserve it. He'll be the first to tell you that. Give him a call, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. We're expecting to talk to Bill Armstrong for tomorrow's podcast. When we do, he'll join us on the Rebel Locker Room hotline, the Rebel Locker Room. West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It is the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear. All the styles, all the colors, everything you could be looking for in Ole Miss gear. It's there at the Rebel Locker Room.
See where ESPN is continuing their purge today?
Well, I knew that cuts were coming. More today?
Ed Werder laid off immediately. 17-year NFL reporter.
The day before the draft.
He says, effective immediately, Werder on Twitter. Ed Werder, ESPN. After 17 years of reporting on the NFL, I've been informed I'm being laid off by ESPN, effective immediately. I have no plans to retire, says Werder. Yeah, we're not talking about laying off the dude that kind of runs the camera for the Night Sports Center. We're not talking about, hey, there's this intern that does some social media for us at times. We're talking about talent.
Well, and in his case,
big contracts.
And in his case, people who have some real reporting jobs. I mean, that dude has contacts all over the league.
He'll get a gig.
Oh, yeah.
In about 8 minutes, if he'd like it.
Yeah. Ed, can you be here in time for the draft?
Well, right. Yeah, Fox just goes,
Ed, where are you today? Connecticut?
Think you can get to L.A.?
Listen, can you get to the airport?
If not, we'll have someone pick you up.
What we're thinking about is flying you to Los Angeles. Can you be at the airport in 3 hours? Oh, you need a contract? Cool. Who's your agent?
Yeah.
All right. Kind of start getting your stuff together. We'll get this worked on. See you in a bit.
Yeah, Jamel Hill just tweets, it's a very difficult day at ESPN.
He has a stellar reputation in our field.
There's one or two more recently that was – there was another NFL guy that was laid off this week. I cannot remember who it was.
ESPN gambled on something, and it's just not paid off. That and all the cord cutting and just the changing landscape of media.
Yeah, no, you're right. Anyway,
not even to get into the politics and stuff.
It is what it is.
They, I think, gambled.
Paid so much money for rights.
They did. And I don't know that you get. I don't know.
Yeah.
They overinvested.
So more guests coming. Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Rest of the week again. Ole Miss and Arkansas tomorrow night from Bomb Stadium in Fayetteville. Last night, Bulldogs 4. Rebels 2, allowing State to sweep the season series the first time since 1997. So we'll talk basketball tomorrow and more as a lot of movement with basketball still going. Ole Miss bringing in a really nice class, especially when you include Markel Crawford. So more on that soon. Talk to you then.